Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we're talking with my very good friend and leader of learning, Aga. Thank you so much for joining us, Aga. How are you doing today?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be myself if I didn't say, yay! I'm finally here. I made it. Now I can just go lie down and die. I've made it to recess duty. I'm usually late duty. So this is good for me.
It's a big deal. Totally. Absolutely. I feel like most teachers are a little bit late to recess duty because, you know, after like cleaning up the kiddos and getting them to the lunch or getting them to the next class, we're shuffling papers, answering an email, calling a parent, sending a message or somewhere. And so we're finally getting to duty. So no, I totally can relate to that.
No, I'm lucky in that respect that we all kind of have this flowy, flexible timetable in place. So whenever I think I'm late, I'm never late. The kids are like, oh no, we're still moving stuff up. And so-and-so wanted to finish to play and do this and that. So in a way, by time, I'm late. But by kiddo flow, never. I love kiddo flow. Like they're in the zone. Miss Aga's not late. All is good in the world.
Aga, for our listeners out there who may not know you, and they should, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into education.
Oh, it's been a while. So I got into education 30 years ago. I'm currently proud 4-0 owner. When I started coaching and teaching friends from the block, literally, not kids on the block, but friends from the block English, because I was the only kid that had a satellite dish and was addictively listening to MTV and Cartoon Network. And I kind of figured I loved it. And I really loved helping others and figuring things out. And I just took it from there. I've been mentoring, tutoring, then got into teacher training college. I come from a family of teachers. So it's been a lot of things coming into one event, which is me and teaching.
Oh, that is such a wonderful story. I, when you're talking about kids on the block, I remember having a block of friends in my area and that we would like trade Pokemon cards and play video games with. And it wasn't so much about teaching, but it was definitely much about hanging out in that social skills and aspect. And it's always interesting how we always talk about how kids will never remember the lesson, but they remember how you made them feel. I specifically remember that feeling of, you know, getting those new cards or doing something really cool in that video game and sharing it with my friends on the block. So I think that'd be really cool about teaching friends English because you're the one that had the satellite. That's really exciting.
And in a way, you know, I agree so much with you because whenever people these days ask about engagement and, you know, highlight belonging as the thing that we do now, I'm thinking, haven't we always done it? Like good educators, we know it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
In a way, that's why we're in this profession. It's a calling. You either like being with people and imparting, you know, attention, knowledge, care, listening ear, because we do so many things for kids and they do so much for us in return. You know, you get to have your little audience. You're one actor show, you get to change hats and be so many things to so many people. And it's a blessing. It's such a generous, generous profession in many ways.
Agreed. And it again reminds me of this moment that I had with my first assistant principal, who is a dear, dear friend of mine. And I'll never forget, you know, we were talking about something and I don't actually remember what we were talking about, but I remember the story he gave me about how his job was more than just being an assistant principal. It was about being somebody connecting people and being a relationship builder and making sure that our community felt like they were together, regardless of titles. And that was something that really stuck with me, that somebody that, because I was very new to teaching at the time, and I was just like, what? You're the leader. And he's like, a leader is just a title. Anybody can be a leader. And that was something that was really profound and really impacted me a lot. In that aspect of, oh, I don't need a title to do relationship building. I don't need to be a principal to connect people together. And that's kind of how I got into Twitter, was the simple fact that I just really enjoyed working with people and connecting with people and talking about music and education and stuff. And Twitter, as you and I know very well, was a great unifier of people that were out there wanting to find new things.
You know, learning, it's such a social construct. And, you know, the whole premise of constructivism, it's like it doesn't happen in a void.
Yeah.
You need to be experiencing things, exposing yourself to people. And I think it's so important these days. I've been reading this amazing book from BQI. BQI recommended. And if you guys haven't been on Big Questions Institute, I do encourage you dearly. So basically, it's a book on the leadership for the times we're in. Mm-hmm. It's called Who Do You Choose to Be? And it's about leadership of service. It's basically about nurturing small communities, grassroots movements, and people in your care that you give your absolute attention, and they always come first. Meaning that, you know, if you value yourself as a leader, if you believe that you can do better for the people, then it's not by leading them, it's by ushering, nurturing, and caring for them. Not standing at the helm, but actually standing at the very back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not being the alpha, it's being that silent. Actually, it is being the alpha. It's being that wolf pack alpha. Because mm-hmm. alphas are never at the front. Alphas are always at the back. Because mm-hmm. they make sure that the oldest members of the pack and the weakest members of the pack are never left behind. So it's kind of that dynamic that she describes, and it's quite beautiful. So I would like to one day see myself as that kind of a leader at the back.
And what a great place to be, you know, when we talk about, you know, leading by example, of being, having that relationship built with people to know that you don't need to be at the forefront. You don't need to be at the front with the PowerPoint. You don't need to be out there talking the most, that you can hang out in the back and know that the people that you are leading are going to do a great job and do amazing things and be out there and uplifting them and shining the spotlight on all the great things they do. You know, that I think that's what my leadership thing is, you know, trying to remove myself as much as possible to let other people shine and do great work.
I couldn't agree more. And I know it's cliche to say this, but it's that job of doing yourself out of a job, making sure that you're creating a sustainable culture and ecosystem that will thrive when you're not there, right?
For sure. Absolutely. So Aga, with all this really cool stuff that's happening and your motivation and your passion and exciting stuff, what are you excited about today?
Today, I'm excited about the fact that I'm bringing you on the podcast to Polish teachers.
Yay!
Second part of my journey and adventure into leading learning. I'm taking all of these amazing practices and colleagues and connections I fostered here in Asia Pacific, globally. I'm taking it home.
Yeah.
I want Polish teachers to have access to all these amazing resources, human libraries, and experiences. I want Polish kids to benefit from that. And I think, you know, there is the right time and the niche, and people are starting to wake up a little bit to what the Polish schools are not necessarily about, which is kids, sadly. And I just feel like I can speak up for the kids when they don't really have that many advocates there. Not yet.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see yourself speaking up for kids in today's world with social media and so much pressure being on tests? And, you know, IB is very much about agency and about scaffolding and inquiry and getting kids excited about learning in a way that works for them. How are you seeing yourself as a student voice?
I'm almost that voice with no voice, but more of a stage builder. I see myself as an engineer that's going to build a stage. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really believe in student empowerment, because that is almost a polar, you know, difference from what a self-driven child really means. A self-efficacy child doesn't need anyone to give them a voice or empower them to have a voice. Self-driven, self-efficacy kids, they already have the voice. They're just, you know, muffled most of the time by conditions they're in. So my idea for Poland, for the foundation, and for the movement I will be building is to create pockets of time, space, places, communities where parents and other teachers realize that children in their lives are so important and have so much to say and are so competent and creative that it's time to just listen.
And what a beautiful testament, not just for Poland, but for so many places in the world where, you know, test scores and how many hours we're practicing or how many worksheets we can do in a day or how many hours of studying we're going to do is how kids are ranked. You know, what a beautiful way to see that, wait a minute, what if I just listen to little Johnny's story about the planets? And I say planets because I have one little kid today that was, he was so excited. We were in music class and we were just drawing, listening to music. It was after recess. And he drew this entire, it had like 20 rockets on it, Aga. And he had dates and the names of every rocket from 1961 all the way to like 2022. And he was like, this is the, what do you call it, journey of the, a specific rocket. And he labeled them all. And then he went into an entire 20-minute discussion about space and planets and all this exciting stuff. And I just was sitting there thinking about, if I never asked him what this was, or I never gave him that minute to explain, and I just brushed it off, I would have never seen this really cool insight into this kid's life and what excites him. So I immediately was like, I have dozens of songs about space and exciting that we might not get to, but I know he's going to be really excited about it. So I just sent him like 20 songs or something to his mom and was like, I know he's into space. We're going to see if we can incorporate some of these, because I know other kids are into space, but like, I hope he enjoys it. Cause I saw, and I took a picture of the rockets and she was like, oh, he will love this. And I was like, it was such a really cool experience.
My cheeks hurt from smiling because I'm such a nerd. And when I hear a fellow nerd being, you know, showcased, I'm like, oh, I love this kid. I love the passion.
Right? Yeah. And it was, you could just hear it. I deserve a
passion project.
Yeah. You could just hear how proud and exciting he was. He talked about how nebulas were made and stars were important and how Pluto had met two categories to be a planet, but one of them it wasn't. It was just really cool. And I was like, wow. And I always believed that, you know, we're so much more than just a music teacher or an English teacher or a math teacher. We're more than just that. You know, we're a teacher of kids. I don't teach math. I teach kids math. Kids has to come first. And to really put that in there, that means you have to sit back and listen to them first and let them show you what they're excited about, you know? And it goes back to provocations. It goes back to like getting things that what's exciting for them. And it's just one of my favorite things because this was not how I grew up. You know, I grew up with worksheets, workbook, chapter books, tests, all the same thing. And I just remember, you know, if I could go back, I'd be like, can we talk about Harry Potter? Could we talk about Treehouse Kids? Could we talk about dinosaurs more? And I just like have one of those teachers that was just really, you know, take that idea and explore with it. It'd be so exciting. So I'm glad we're doing that good work here now. And I know you're doing that at your school, seeing the community that you're building and all the workshops that you're presenting on. And the, again, the learning community that you're building is just absolutely fabulous from what we see on Twitter. So congratulations on that as well.
Slowly but surely, right? It's the just cause.
Exactly. And again, Rome was not built in a day. So, and that's what I have to tell myself is change is a slow process, but even the Grand Canyon was formed by a very small river of water. So that's what I always try to remind myself.
Right?
Exactly.
No, I'm very committed and I'm very consistent. And I think this is the only thing I have not changed or wavered from in my entire life. And I'm very proud of that in so many ways, because being a third culture kid in a very, very different kind of an ecosystem, being our teaching pool here in Asia Pacific, mm-hmm. it definitely hasn't been the easiest of journeys.
For sure.
To venture into places and situations and opportunities. But I think even through that, you know, being a perhaps not a role model, that's too big of a word, but just being a good example to my girls, mm-hmm. and girls in particular, and just to people and learners and people who have a dream and a passion to say, you know what, life can deal you some, you know, really messed up hands sometimes, but it's how you play it, how you play and how you wait and how you just stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've stuck out, you know, my share of really poor hands. And now I'm here and I'm still here. And I don't see myself anywhere else, to be honest with you, for the next 40.
Yay. That's awesome.
I'm very Betty White about my profession. I'm like, until I'm standing, like, I'm there. I'm showing up.
Aga, what is one thing you wish you would have known when you began your career?
Huh, see, I'm paused. You hardly ever have seen me speechless in my entire life. Right?
Well, and that is usually the question that most people will be like, huh, what do I wish I remember? There's so many things. What is one?
I know. I actually know. And there are two things. Can I get a bundle deal?
Sure.
I love a bundle deal. Thank you. One, that it's okay to be me. That it's okay to bring my quirks, my style, my preferences, my real voice. Not that, you know, oh, don't be so loud, Aga, because, you know, you're Polish, your jokes are a little blunt, you're a little loud, you say things too soon, or you're overeager. If I had known 20 years ago that flavor, the real Aga, was going to get me places instead of trying to fit in and not really belong. Thank you, Brené Brown. I hope you're listening to this one day. I love you. My homage, always. Manifesting my Brené Brown-related future here. Please don't cut this out. I'm just saying, I wish someone had told me that my real way to belong is not to fit in, but mm-hmm. to sing my song and dance my dance and be as quirky and, you know, freaky as I want it to be, because that's what kids love me for. And that's what the real colleagues and friends and other real educators who are in it for the right reason see as my gift to our community, because mm-hmm. that is the unique voice and not a voice like every other voice. And we need unique voices because mm-hmm. we need perspectives, right? That's my number one. Tell your story, be yourself. And number two, that it's okay to look after yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't have to leave it all in the arena every time. That you need to preserve yourself and some parts of yourself just for yourself. That it's not all blood, sweat, and tears, because at the end of the day, the show goes on for everybody else and you're behind stage heaving and you're like, Anyone? Okay. It's me. I will take care of myself. And I learned that so very late. It took me 2 strokes and cancer. No joke.
Yeah.
To learn this. And it's still like a day by day trial and tribulation situation where you're like, oh, should I readjust? I should not be feeling this way.
And I find it's always because we do it in the name of the kids, that we continue to pour out of an empty bucket. But I've noticed, especially because of COVID and because my iPhone keeps telling me how many hours or percentages I up and down across the week, which I'm not a big fan of, I will say that. But it's been a really good reflection to be like, Levi, get off the computer, go for a walk. Levi, close Google. Like, get out of there, go for a walk. The work is never going to stop. The work is always going to be there. And what mm-hmm. I have really found is be like, you know what? 5 o'clock, you're done. Close everything. Pick it back up tomorrow and we'll figure it out some more. But it's always going to be there. And that's something I know what we've talked about this particularly of something that really working hard to, you know, fill your own bucket. So on that note, Aga, what do you do to fill your bucket?
I cannot say Netflix because I know that's highly, you know, frowned upon. But I do love me a home edit show. And,
what's a home edit show?
Home edit is this amazing documentary on Netflix on organizing spaces, houses, homes, closets in the rainbow fashion system. Oh, it's so good. It's like married a teacher and they had a love baby for stationery. so good.
All right.
It's really good. But in general, I like documentaries and I love Audible. I'm an Audible addict. Yeah. So I listen to books on end. Yeah. I will be washing the dishes. This is my, you know, aqua therapy. That's what a teacher can afford. Washing her dishes and listening to the soothing voice of Brené Brown. No, I'm terrible. Margaret Wheatley recently. Yeah. But yeah.
No, I think I actually started reading. Sorry, I think I started listening to books because of you. And I know I've listened to a lot of John Gordon. He talks about like being positive and being on the positive bus. And that I just remember listening to him and his books while walking Weston. And I just remember how wonderful that was. You know, we walked for hours and not even realize it. And finally, my poor dog was finally like, can we please go home? Yeah, he was like, I'm tired.
I cannot do that. No, I cannot do that with my bear of a dog because he is unpredictable. So he will see a jogger and there I am flying in the air because he wants to say hi. And when he pounces at someone, he's 2 meters tall, 6 feet for those of you not in the metric system. So when he does that, I need to be fully alert. So on my walks with him every night, we just listen to birds and bees and occasional mosquitoes and stuff like that.
Yeah. So as we were talking about resources in terms of podcasts and Audibles, and you mentioned earlier the website that you were talking about, what are some other really great resources to help people not only fill their bucket, but to continue this journey of education where we will get to you one day and be like, you know what? I have another 40 years in me.
You know what? A few weeks or maybe it's been a month or so now ago, I did a spotlight with Kimberly Mitchell. So Inquiry 5 Partners, that's her website.
Yep.
And what I love about Spotlight is that she asks that question of everyone on that interview there. So when you go through all the Spotlight interviews of these incredible human being educators around the world, you get the scoop. You get the creme de la creme in that last question from everyone. Like, you know, for me, it was constantly re-listening Ken Robbins stuff, going into Regio Ateliers on Instagram and just binging the gorgeous images of light ateliers. And, you know, loose parts at play. It was also, well, my Audible lineup of books and everything I have there. But I would say one thing that I didn't list there, not necessarily there for teachers, but just for us as people, is Kristen Neff's stuff about well-being and self-compassion. It's just like, you know, feeding and nurturing your soul and yourself and making yourself a little bit stronger and resilient. And that's been my most recent thing. So Kristen Neff, definitely there on your list of resources if you want to jump onto the website. She has a beautiful website. She also has recorded many podcasts. If you can hear any background music, it's my daughter and her show on Netflix. Exciting. That are just totally different to the process.
No worries. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm excited. And we can put some of those links down in the Recess Duty show notes. So Aga, we ask all guests here on the Recess Duty, what do you remember about recess growing up?
There wasn't one. Polish school, you didn't have recess. You had lunch break that was super short. And right after it, you, whether you wanted it or not, or you were ready or not, you went straight back to class. Our breaks were 5 to 10 minutes in between periods. And they were indoors, corridor. And the only time you did go outside to the gym or to the, you know, hall or any other area that was outdoors was during your PE class.
And again, what a good testament to, you know, different areas around the world having different educational systems. And yet we all come around to what we do now and really try to, again, help students support their emotional well-being and physical well-being and academic well-being in nurturing and caring ways. So again, breaking the mold of how we grow up into supporting kids a little bit better. Thank you, Aga, for coming to this week's episode of Recess Duty. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our next episode. I'm Levi Allison, and I hope you have a great day of learning, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Recess Duty. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, please share this podcast with other educators so they can join the fun. And that is the end of our Recess Duty.